concerning the effects of genetics and science and other forms of water, food, and politics. One of the things that I wanted to mention as we just went off on the first hour, by the way, the phone call number is 800-313-9443, and I can't tell you how many questions I've gotten in terms of the functions of genetics and how it develops and where we're going with this. But the nanotech system is going to be one of our futures too, and the most promising out is called the carbon nanotubes. These are microscopic, and they're going to be used in, these are tubes that form different shapes, and they're going to be used for pharmaceutical work. They're going to be used in cancer. They're going to be used in genes. They're going to be used in all forms of microscopes, biosensors, and also for substrates. They're substrates for bone growth and change of bone structure. And then, of course, the neural cell structure, for instance, like regrowing brains have the brain cell change in a way to be able to trigger one of the gene systems in the human brain. And of course, I could go into how this should actually reduce human harm, but that would take a whole another show. Because a lot of this research of expanding from what America's doing is really happening in Europe. So we have what are people getting concerned about in terms of their food supply and their water supply and the rest of it. But before you can get to that discussion, you can't avoid the function of the brain and how it affects in terms of Alzheimer's disease is nothing more than a serious, debilitating, and terrible situation. But it's really the cornerstone for all the future research that's going on. And there is a what's called a synaptic loss. In other words, if you have a carbon tube, it's microscopic, that's been genetically altered in such a way that it's going to be able to send signals to change the gene structure, you might be able to prevent dementia, which is really where this is heading. And I've seen some of these animal experiments. They're very, very sophisticated, and it's called the gene, which is called AB-1-42. And when that gets overproduced, why, then there's an accumulation again, a synaptic loss of that gene, and it causes dementia. And this all accumulates in the forms of protein assemblies, and these are known as ADDLs. And ADDLs are the accumulation of all these different genes. They bind on the receptors of the neuron of the brain. If you control that gene, you control the brain. When we get back on the other end of the break, we'll begin with genetic engineering and these particular gene structures of the brain. And you can call in at 800-313-9443. And this year 2006, and of course all of this kind of planning and conceptual ideas of how to deal with genetics, how to deal with the concept of putting this into the favor of the public, presents a lot of political issues as well. And if you took stories off the top and said, well, we have E. coli in our food, we have the rest of it, anything, you know, and people, they grow genetically engineered corn. I mean, there's one question that came in and said, well, they use E. coli in the seed of the corn and the rest of it, I think. The whole thing is that, for my audience to understand, Escherichia coli or E. coli has been used as a genetically engineered testing organism for years. And it's under safe conditions, under strains that do not cause a great toxicity. It's a great organism for discovering how DNA works and how things develop and how they work out in terms of being able to predict various aspects of amino acid interpretations. Most of the aspects of what we've been talking about are going to be highly affected in the new Congress and pending legislation right now by Representative Harry Waxman has proposed what's called an Access to Life-Saving Medicine Act. And the legislation outlines various levels of clinical trial interchangeability studies of all these things we've been discussing in the past hour. And of course, it has there the tax credits incentives, which are necessary for research and development credits, which are a whole other tax discussion, which can be brought as a sidebar in great depth in another show. But the shorter approval times for a lot of these studies, the limitations on the filing of patent lawsuits, which, by the way, closely exclude China from re-engineering any of these generic studies. And it talks generally about the interchangeability of generic biologically approved drugs. In the process of this, there's a section which is called Section 505J under the Hatch-Waxman Act, which is allows the submission of any abbreviated new drug application. And under these systems, a lot of those new drugs will not be part of this new computational chemistry, which I've been talking about, and how that will influence people in terms of how they make the drug. And, of course, here we get into the system of people who are using the purified waters in the laboratories to make these drugs. And there's a whole world now growing, which I talked about 4 years ago, in terms of trying to change ways that water is used in the laboratories for making these particular drugs and doing the testing. And I always have talked about, and will, and this is my national approach also, that we need alternate energy and alternate technologies, alternate purification technologies of the water in a mass scale in America. This would include advanced work in ultraviolet photooxidations, filtration processors that we that the state of the art right now just can't handle these particular chemicals, and that affect the genetic engineering sequences of our body, which I have called in chloramine causes collateral damage, that these government agencies want us to be a human processing plant, and they want us to process this in our bodies. And this has been my whole contention about the formation of the new gene sequences in diabetes type 2, the concept of cancer development for Tay-Sachs disease, the increase of autism, the conceptual use of how electrolyte system is affecting the heart muscles of people, and how the birth rate is being influenced. And the whole birth rate system for drinking water contaminants have absolutely shown, you know, if you had a problem and we solved through the literature, you'd have a great world, wouldn't you? It would be, oh, well, I saw it in the literature, or I saw it here, or I saw it there. A lot of the work is published, but it's in obscure areas, and I have accumulated all of that and put it together and analyzed the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pieces of work from all over the world, and have shown that there is a gestational, the gestation age for babies has been shortened, and there are adverse birth outcomes, and there are spontaneous abortions, there are neural tube defects, there are formations of different gene structures that are causing what I call chemical babies. That's my own phrase that I've put together, which I'll be writing a lot about and talking a lot about. And we'll get into that, into the concept of how genetic engineering is just not understood as to how to solve some of these problems. If you have a genetic system which has a weak immune system, then you have to have a way to understand how the gene system works so that you can. It is more than just legislating. It's a question of enforcing this through a new public debate. And right now you have four groups that I know that I've put together in terms of understanding that there's private industry, and they're all at odds over the other groups. Private industry over genetic engineering. Then you got activist organizations like the Alliance for Biointegrity, the Foundation on Economic Trends. These folks haven't seen the inside of a lab in their life. And then you have regulatory agencies responsible for regulating biotechnology. This would be the FDA and the EPA. Then you got the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. And then you got the public at large, which can be a whole group of people that are not discreet as a group. So, and they all mistrust each other. And so the whole thing is, what I'm out to do is to try to force this into a constitutional concept, so it's possible that the confidence system can be built. Where the public can trust industry and the activists can do something that's really what I call an honest evaluation of the benefits and the risks of all of these aspects of medical genetics and plant genetics, and at the same time be able to match wits with the nation-state treaties that are being signed through economic treaties to control the fertility rates, which in turn will control the use of these various products, all related to water, all involved with water use. And herein lies the aspect of, well, okay, the news is saying, well, we have bad food because we got 6-furrow pigs that ran through a spinach patch in Salinas, California. And in those processes of doing something like that, that takes care of the problem. Meanwhile, you have nutritionists that are on the air who are saying, well, the food supply is perfect. There hasn't been a problem, which is true. I mean, you know, the food supply is basically in good shape in terms of where you're looking at it. But the organic farmers are going to have to change their definition of organic farming to be able to compete with all of the ways that we are handling the earth and the concept of our own medical system to be able to eat food that makes some sense. So what we have to do is to look at what that common denominator is in terms of how it's influencing our research system and how it's affecting our food supply. And herein comes this delicate issue of reclaimed water, which is used to increase the potable water resources, potable being drinkable. And if you're drinking it, and you're having a process here of trying to deal with what recycled water can actually do to you and your food, that is where we're heading into this hour in terms of the genetically engineered concepts that are involved with the outcomes of reclaimed water to increase the potable water resource. And most of these studies have been known for a long time, and they have influenced what I call the testing sequences for cancer and genetics without people working on the genetics itself. And of course, at the time that the Mississippi River was tested in 1976, one of the first studies, there was a total cancer mortality for white males and non-white males and females in urinary tract cancers. 1976 just got released last week. When we come back on the other end of the break, we're going to discuss the real world in terms of all these topics we have and bring it all together in one place. Hundreds and hundreds of questions concerning genetic engineering and the concept of medical science and studies. I want to finish that. This was done by Dr. Page in 1976, the water study on that, on chloramine, on chlorination in 64 Louisiana parishes. Over 60% of the water from groundwater, it was 50%, 12% from surface water. And the Mississippi River water consumption increases total cancer mortality in these white males. But the non-white males and the females all had urinary tract cancers. And the white male system is a four-page tabular studies of the non-white females all of them had gastrointestinal cancers. This study wasn't released until last week. And the only reason I got it is because I do the grant review on the subject. We have a caller, Charles from Texas. Are you there, Charles? We have a caller from Texas. Is Charles there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, just barely, Charles.
Okay. What is the effect on the genetic structure of aspartame, the regular amino acid? Aspartic acid, sorry.
You mean the effect of genetic changes generally from aspartame?
Yeah. No, I made a mistake. Aspartic acid, the amino acid.
Yeah, I know.
Acid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, aspartic acid has been known for some time to cause genetic changes in what are called the R sequences of the DNA. You have four amino acids, the guanine and the cytosine thymine, and then you have the other breakoff of the argosine, which aspartame breaks off on what are called chromosome tags. And these tags contain various forms of chromosomes of which we have what are called aberrant chromosome gene structures. Now, that's in animal studies. In human studies, of course, it's been related to various forms of intestinal cancer, which I went into early in the show, in terms of the percentage of the ascending and descending colon. What I'd like to do is to take this up a step, and let's talk about Splenda. Can you hear me, Charles?
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Now you take Splenda. Splenda is made from a chlorine molecule sequences and three phosphorus breakoffs, okay? If you take that and you add it to tap water, which has got chloramine in it as a disinfecting byproduct, you are, in real-world terms, decreasing out your thymus gland, which is your immune gland system, by 40%. And that's not, you know, blue-skying figure. That happens to be real research. Now, The aspartame, in terms of all of this concept of working in it, has been totally researched, talked about. There are people that have worked to try to keep aspartame out and try to keep it in, and, but it's still being used. It shouldn't be in our sweetening system. It's a mutagenic, and it's also, but Splenda's worse. Splenda's in everything. You can go to a grocery store, it's in just about everything. And he's got a box on it, you know. No, well, it's not. It's not a good thing.
Right, but aspartic acid, is that the same as aspartame?
Aspartic acid?
Yeah.
Is that, well, aspartame is just the generic name for the whole composite of the product. That's just generic name.
I thought aspartic acid was a amino acid.
It is.
Okay, and it is toxic.
Well, aspartic acid in the wrong sequence, it is, yeah.
Ah, but natural aspartic acid, like in any protein, like hemp powder or eggs or something, is okay.
Yeah, that's okay because the body would take that and change it, provided in a good way, provided you have a good immune system.
Okay, and you don't drink chlorinated water and weaken your thyroid. Okay.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Right. Okay, so the next question is, have you done any studies on StemTech, their stem cell enhancer? Does it undo some of this damage?
The state of the art of that research isn't up to date yet to work it. Remember in the other end of the show, I was talking about how stem cells can accumulate mutations. And actually, stem cells could be progenitor cells for cancer itself. So if it's not signaled correctly. So where we are on this is that we are putting in too many of the Splenda-type molecules in our body, and we're putting in too many of the assortment of at least 1,500 disinfectant byproducts from the tap water as an example, just as an example. And we do not know right now, we do not know which chemical it is that's causing the chemical change. That's our problem.
Oh, see, okay.
See what I'm saying? So we don't know which stem cell to go for. We'll go on the other end of the break, and we'll pick up our other callers, too. Thank you, Charles, for calling. We have a caller from Colorado. Rita from Colorado. Rita, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Wynn. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Rita. How are you?
Oh, fine. I was just doing a Google search. You were talking about synthetic genomics. And it starts out with things for harvesting petroleum or fuels or something. And then you get to a place called Open Wetware, and it's got a steering committee on there. I mean, I don't think they're going to actually tell us they're making ways to kill people on there, but you know, it's starting to look like that. You know, me.
That's why I'm calling it. Using the term out of the synthetic genomics, but I'm also calling it synthetic genomics for hire.
Yeah. And you look at the steering committee, and there are a whole lot of people from MIT, and the thing that I start to think about is when you know they're starting to see what diseases kill people. Well, they'll see, you know, I mean, they will see these kill some people and not other people, you know, pretty soon, right?
Well, I don't. I have a comment about that because I want to be careful. I have three answers to that one sentence that you have. One of the things is, in the first place, I consider it the top of the line subject in terms of weapons of mass destruction. As far as I'm concerned, the idea of decoding and encoding again DNA is the weapon of mass destruction. Because not everybody can do it. You have to have an enormous amount of knowledge. But think of the people like Dr. Anthrax that was on Saddam Hussein's staff. Remember I was talking about this on a previous Parker Pathway?
Yeah.
And I was talking about there are four forms of anthrax. And we're on air, and so I don't have any, I got to be careful what I say. But I have nothing but the greatest contempt for a mind that can conceive the concept, let's kill only certain people and not the others. And that was the concept. Now, if you have a system here, if the United States of America does, in our 100-year history of fighting these terrible wars, if we can achieve a way to stop the DNA sequence from being used in that manner, we will prevent what I call the Book of Revelation. And I don't think I'm being overdramatic when I say that.
Yeah, well, my take on this whole thing is that, we basically have to be sort of that naive if we are going to think. I mean, for one thing, we give our own soldiers antidotes, you know.
21 of them.
Right.
In one shot.
And so, nobody is perfect person here. And so, what I think is what we get is we need a new structure because look at what we've got. We've got kind of like we've got the Balaam. We've got Jeremiah's problem of the Balaam and the priests and the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's coming to the same thing, and we've got good doctors, you know, we've got doctors who've taken the Hippocratic oaths, and they, you know, they want to be on steering committees, and then we've got these other guys that are working on ways to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of comes to a situation where I think what we've got is we're right up against pluralism if we don't start to acknowledge rights of people and self-determination, rights of association, and the rights that people give each other in civil society.
Mm-hmm. This was the basis of why I call the show Parker Pathways, because Pathways has to do with chemistry, it has to do with conceptions, it has to do with metaphysics, it has to do with the development of ways of seeing signals along the path and being able to make changes. This is the basis of all metaphysical law. And it's all the basis of all the old religions as they came out when they first started. And you're absolutely right, Rita. I mean, this is we have to have another paradigm. And the paradigm is we got to raise the level of the knowledge base of people and say, look, you're no longer living in your coffee shop.
Right.
And talking about it. You know what I mean? And now we've got a whole different ball game out here. And what's very interesting is how the press handles these things. They bring on these nutritionists and they say, "Oh, the food supply is falling. It was six feral pigs that ran through the spinach patch in Salinas, California, and this is why the lettuce is that way, or the onions that way, or something that way." Never realizing that the concept of the irrigation water is a mixture of blended recycled water, which has a different chemical ion configuration that can cause, if you drink it, in the studies that I've uncovered, in humans, it can cause bladder cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer. I've got a study right in front of me, which is done by Dr. Merrifield in 1986.
Right.
And this was done in St. Louis County in St. Louis, Louisiana. And this showed that there was a relative increase of stomach cancer, liver cancer, large bowel cancer, bladder cancers, and then, bingo, cervical cancers. From the period of 1960 to 1967. And Rita, nobody told anybody about it till last week.
So but my point is that I don't want the Balaam or, you know, even the doctors to be the ultimate, people that are saying what's going on in eminent domain issues, because it gets bigger. It gets to where, you know, we have to look at who we are and who we can define ourselves at as free people.
Yeah. Did you hear last hour I exposed the concept of the genetic tests that are for sale for certain people?
Uh-huh.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. I think what your path seems to me more reformation, and I really think it's more of a revolutionary path, even though I'm not for a violent revolution.
No, what I'm for... The revolution, I have said it, I've even said it on air, the revolution that I see is the one that has to do with the mind and the thought and the knowledge that's inherent in us. And we only use, as according to every brain science concept and neuroscience, we only use 15% of the brain at the most, if that. And I feel strongly that we are far more superior as human beings than we think we are. We just haven't got it together as to how to put that all together in terms of we haven't taken the knowledge bases and worked them out in a different way. That's the revolution that I want to see.
Yeah, well, we stop pigeonholing ourselves, then we can open ourselves up for that. But then what we do, we'll have to have different paths for people, you know?
Of course.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely, and work it through, because this is very serious business. I mean, you are talking, you hit it on the head in terms of the idea there are good physicians and there are bad physicians, and good scientists and bad scientists. And holy, imagine what somebody would do if you had a genetic test to determine the TCF gene, which is going to influence four different endocrine gland systems for your cancer development, and that will be totally under the jurisdiction of the new Waxman bill in Congress, which gets voted on in 2 weeks, which means that you're going to be subjected to a completely different medical protocol. At the same time, in the amendment of that bill, is the elimination of alternate medicine. There are physicians in this country that are being accused of a phrase called moral turpitude because they do alternate medicine. And you know what they're talking about? They're talking about acupuncture.
Right.
And the thing comes down to the fact that And so you get a bad physician or you get a bad scientist that has a TCF gene, and they say, "Oh, We found this in Rita, so therefore what we're going to do is put her under a whole new lifelong path of really being what we call a cancer synergenic genome client." And that's what they want to do. So in other words, you are exactly, as an example, would be as a bioterrorist test subject.
Yeah, because that's the old paradigm in which I threaten that paradigm, and so I think you're really actually very close to on track about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think that what we get to is we just see what's going on with Waxman and the health industry and all that. The alternative medicine is, well, they don't have the balancing mechanisms. They've gotten rid of the balancing mechanisms when they made everybody a 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Yeah, and the other thing too, this is why I'm very serious about this business of a constitutional amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And the thing is that that we have a right to vote. What goes in our they call it the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And what I want to add, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and health. And I have copies of Thomas Jefferson's work in terms of how he wanted that. In terms of, he didn't use the word health, he used the phrase well-being, which at that time meant that. And the whole thing.
I think you would really, really have to enunciate the beneficiality of diversity in human kind. And if we try to go at that from a pluralistic perspective, I think it's we're still back in the same.
By diversity, to me, what do you mean by diversity, Rita?
I mean that we are human beings who live and breed on this planet, and in order to live and breed on this planet, then we have to respect the diversity of each other. We cannot think that we're all going to fall into some common new race.
I just wanted to make sure I got your view, because
I mean that's in the new literature, you know. That's what they're telling kids now.
Yeah, I know.
And it doesn't work. It just plain doesn't work.
Yeah. The other thing, you're absolutely right. The other thing is the fact that I remember when President Clinton was somewhere off playing golf one day, and they were doing an interview with him, and they were following him around, and he had a big announcement to make. And his big announcement was that there are only four genes that separate us all from each other. And what he did is not complete the sentence. Our diversity that we have is very real. In terms of why we have certain diseases or certain prologues in terms of how our mind works because of different chemicals and the rest of it. It isn't the four genes. It's a question of how the chromosomes work within that variation, which can be billions of chances in one way or the other. What my problem is, and I agree with you, we're putting everybody in one basket.
Right.
You see, like we're supposed to accept somebody because of this or accept somebody because of that. And the whole thing is, they want to see how they've taken this. There is a new show, television show, that's going to be called Profile, done by the magician from Las Vegas. And it's going to start tomorrow, I believe. And I think, now, the whole concept of this is to try to make a difference in terms of your perception as to what that person is if you profile them visually.
Yeah.
See, and this is the whole position of which the United States government's taking in terms of saying, well, that person looks like this and that's that, and so we're going to put them on the list. Guess what the list is? The list is going to be available for 40 years.
Yeah, and the thing is that what we've got with this pure pluralism, I think, in the Balaam, I think what we've got is they breed by disease. That is their religion. Disease is how they breed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got some people curing us and some people giving us sickness.
Mm-hmm. Well,
That's not how people are supposed to be.
Well, I know.
We're supposed to be able to associate with each other.
Yeah. Well,
we are. You know?
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Now, just take this calmly with another thing. What the lead story from the World Health Organization, yes, from the European, the Germans who made this announcement yesterday in German, not English, and the thing was that what we want to do is to increase circumcision. Because that'll lower the transmission of AIDS. okay, I don't have any problem with the concept that somebody wants to do circumcision and thing, but the reasoning is that they only want it for Africans.
Huh.
Okay.
Right.
So there you go. You've got to kind of. I can understand the AIDS situation and the things, but what the public doesn't realize is that the HIV virus is so devastating in certain parts of the continent because it is a different surface antigen and viral system. There are 8 viruses in that HIV virus. And the thing comes out in Africa, it just happens to be more virulent and more deadly. And the whole concept of this is that I have brought out to the policymakers is the fact I'm saying, well, look, if you bring out this circumcision story, then you're going to have to face the concept of another little ticklish subject that no one wants to talk about, is the fact that if you go to the old books that were not in the Bible, they were books of the Bible that were not there, the Jewish people believed in circumcision. Now, how are you going to deal with the other ethnic group?
That's right. We have to.
Yeah,
we can't ignore it.
Well, listen, Rita, it's really been good talking with you, and you call again.
All right, thanks, absolutely.
Okay, bye bye. Time crunches, sometimes you don't have a chance to say everything you want. I can't give my heartfelt thanks high enough for the producers who have helped me with the show, Republic Broadcasting Network, without question. And in terms of you cannot believe what it means to have truth in radio. And I can't say enough about a Merry Christmas to our RBN family. I want to dedicate this show, of course, to Lori and Tony and to the Claire spirit who, if she had been alive at this show today, would have had the possibility of interferon F to help save her cancer. Very quickly, results of 1988 to 1990 figures for disinfectant byproducts that are just being released for access. Heart defects, which are called conal truncal heart defects. These are in form of inverted cavities in the heart from chlorinated water. Occurred in 26 counties in California in 1988. That was known. In Nova Scotia, there was a study which showed that bromodichloromethane, which is the one I concentrate on, has a almost 3% neural tube defect, oral cleft palates, 6%, heart defects, 3%. In Massachusetts, for instance, there's a heart defect ratio that is a variant standard deviation of 3% in all their studies. In the Denver area, Colorado, the total cryo methane system, and they try to play it over, and they've been doing it for years. This is a perfect example of why we need a grand jury of science and technology to have these folks who have these millions of dollars of water contracts that is used to not handle correctly and absolutely in real world terms the trihalomethane as a result of secondary disinfection byproducts in the water. There is in northern New Jersey, the total trihalomethane systems can run, or neural tube defects can run 3 to 5%, and oral cleft palates is 4%, heart defects is recorded at 1%. And these are all based upon registration of record systems that are picked up and looked at. But this doesn't even begin to cover what I'm trying to promote in terms of the chloramine is an intermediary real-world product. It's ammonia added to chlorine. Chlorine causes breast cancer as a starter, and the ammonia is the other aspect of the iodine uptake of thyroid incapacities, which influence the gene structure of your human body. This has been a good show for presentation of answering hundreds of questions, I hope, from the listeners whom I have the greatest respect, and a Merry Christmas to all of you, and a happy, healthy, healthy, healthy holiday, and I'll look for you on the back end of the beginning of the new year. God bless all of you, and God bless RPN.